Like a Pose, everybody, and welcome to Wii Universe. This is the show where we are playing every single Wii U game in random-ass order. Today, we are playing more games than we've ever attempted in one sitting, but also less content than we've attempted in most sittings. Either way, we had a good time, and we didn't actually do that much sitting for this one.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, we were moving and grooving.
Steve is already losing his voice.
Already losing my voice. I was karaokeing.
Ten seconds into the podcast.
That's all it takes. I am a booty wiggler, Steve Guntley.
Hello, I am young and sweet and only 17, Woody Siskowski.
For today's episode,
we felt the beat from the tambourine.
Oh yeah, absolutely, exactly. Absolutely.
I feel like Emma was kind of giving me a look there, like, "What are you talking about?"
So what I was thinking was, "What is my catchphrase going to be?" We have a booty wiggler and a young, sweet, and 17, and here I am.
Here I am.
She is here to offer some expertise because we are playing the Just Dance series. So we had to have a Just Dancer here. She is a professional dancer, a dance instructor, the owner of Evolution Studios here in Bellingham, Washington. Excuse me, Evolution Dance Company.
You're getting confused with the place that ran Jurassic Park here in Bellingham.
Oh, that's right.
They found those mosquitoes in Amber, and they ran amok in Old Town.
Oh, poor Amber. Yeah, that was a bad day for her. Anyway.
I would have a lot more money if I was the owner of Evolution Studios.
Probably true. But Emma Obukovich is here. Did I said it right. Okay. It's a tough name. It's a great name. I love your name. We love you, and I'm excited that you're here. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back. It's been a couple years since I was on the pod, so
too long.
Much too long.
You've come bearing new names and new sets of skills. To share with us. I mean, it goes without saying that Steve and I are like really, really great dancers. Two men in their
intimidatingly so.
Yeah, in their mid-30s. Well, though, to be true, we literally won an award for a dance routine once.
But like, that is true. We actually did for a number in Spamalot.
And involving umbrellas and tap shoes.
Yes.
And every time I get an award in theater, I imagine there must be some kind of mistake.
Oh, like, that's called imposter syndrome.
Once I got an award for like an improv competition I was in high school, and they initially said the wrong school. They're like the old haggard woman from some other school, and like I had played an old haggard woman in our sketch, and they're like, no, that's actually the person from Orcus. And then I have always assumed that it was a mistake, and someday someone's going to come knock on my door and be like, you give us that sticker back that we gave you.
I expect the same thing. Emma was there when I got an award for acting, and I was deeply confused. They called my name, and I'm just like, it took like 30 seconds for me to process that that's actually my name.
I think the most messed up part of this story is that same year I didn't get the award for choreography and you got the award for acting. That sounded so shady.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
sorry for stealing your shine, I guess.
Also, just in the long term, you have been, you know, not to a large extent, but rewarded financially for your dancing skills and choreography skills, where Steve has not been rewarded at all financially for his acting skills.
I've often been punished.
People are like, Steve, we won't cast you, but just for watching your audition, give us $15.
You know what? You owe us 15. Yeah. At least 15 for attempting that dance move there.
Should I do a little background of who I am?
Sure.
Okay. As Steve so eloquently and specifically stated, I'm Emma Obukovich. I'm the owner of Evolution Dance Company in Bellingham, Washington. I've been dancing for about 25 plus years and choreographing for 10 or 15. And I have, I don't know how much I want to hype myself up, but I am an award-winning choreographer and dancer. And now my life is dedicated to playing Just Dance with these guys.
I guess the point
here, I'm
glad
we helped you find your purpose.
Aside from Emma being awesome, is that we actually have someone who can tell us if this game is quote unquote good or not, because we don't know.
Well, like, here's the thing. Like, this is our first time with the Just Dance series. Neither of us, as we stated, are professional dancers
or competent dancers.
But it kind of made me think of when we talk about Guitar Hero and how real guitar players will kind of like poo-poo the Guitar Hero series as like not being a good way to learn guitar. I was kind of curious, Emma is a professional dance instructor, and how do you think this game would fare to teach someone how to dance or to get them excited about dancing? I mean, do you think this is a tool for that, or should this just be looked at as its own thing?
Well, my first thing I was surprised by the choreography in the game itself is actually fairly good, and the little cartoon characters that they have are great dancers, but there's some real choreography in here, which surprised me. You know, we kind of harkened back to Dance Dance Revolution on the PlayStation and how, as a dancer, I was disappointed that I was really awful at that game. But no, I think it was great. I think that the dance moves and the choreography was a level that was easily modified if you didn't feel like you could hit the lower body portions. Mm-hmm. It didn't really matter. But then if you really wanted to get serious about it, there was full body choreography with formation changes when you play the team mode and level changes and turn around. And it was great. I was pleasantly surprised.
I'm glad you brought up Dance Dance Revolution, or DDR for us cool kids.
Oh, that's what we call it.
Because that, I feel like that was kind of a revelation when that came out of like, who wants to play a game where you dance?
Right.
You know, as like, is this really going to catch on? And then it was this huge hit.
Phenomenal.
And not that people don't get amazingly good at that game, and that's not its own skill in and of itself, but it's a pretty different skill. I mean, maybe that's more comparable to something like Guitar Hero. Like, somebody, it's just about, you know, really fast timing and, you know, being able to just move your feet or your fingers at this really high speed.
And this one seems to be a little bit more about incorporating your whole body, you know, in ways that feel much more like dance than simply like controller tapping with
your
feet.
Yeah, and you can correct me on this, Emma, because I have no idea what I'm talking about. But in my very limited experience of trying to be a better dancer, I feel like what I have learned is almost the most important thing is a sort of confidence. Behind your moves, it's like you really notice the difference of somebody who's throwing their whole body into it. Even if they're maybe a little technically less skilled, they're still a more engaging dancer than someone who's kind of half-heartedly doing the steps correctly.
100%. And I always tell my dancers, you know, when I'm running an audition, when I'm casting, I'm not, 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to cast the dancer that is the most technically apt. I'm going to cast the dancer who tries the best, has the best attitude, and is full out 100%. And that kind of ties into actually answering Steve's last question. I wouldn't say this is a game that's going to teach you how to dance, but it can definitely teach you to be more comfortable dancing. You know, there wasn't a lot of technical aspects. So if you say, oh, I want to be a dancer on stage in a musical or a Broadway show, this isn't probably how you're going to learn, like go to a class, but
preferably at Evolution Dance Studio in Bellingham, Washington.
But it did have a lot of groove to it. And I feel like that's where people who quote unquote can't dance get uncomfortable, is just chilling in the dance moves and letting yourself kind of have fun with it. And it was very groovy. So I think, no, this isn't going to be a way to teach you how to dance, but I did see you guys get more and more comfortable the more songs that we played. But something I kind of found funny is they beat me at a lot of the songs when we were playing, you know, versus mode, because I was trying to get too into it and match the dancers or the cartoon characters too much. Whereas, you know, it's just the one Wii remote in your right hand. And if you're just doing that arm, you're going to do really well.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I got to get my lower body. I got to get the body rolls and the articulation and get really specific. And then I didn't do so good.
Well, yeah.
Keeping it simple seems to kind of benefit with these motion-based games.
I mean, we do have 9 games to cover, so we can probably get into specifics second.
Let me
I want to do one more quick generality, which I think is another distinction between like something like DDR and Guitar Hero, and this is like, it took a while. Like, when you go play DDR at an arcade, like, that game is very mean to you.
Yeah,
like you,
yeah, yeah.
You feel like you're always getting the wrong timing, and it's always like poor, poor. And like,
and they boo you.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't hit it. Boo.
And like early Guitar Hero games, if you were not doing well, the song would just end and you would fail. And like that encourages, like, I mean, obviously there gives some progression there as you get through. But like this game, regardless of how you do, it's going to play all the way through. And really, like,
and they would hype you up.
Yeah.
When you would hit it, you'd get the applause through the remote and the buzz on the remote. And it was okay.
Yeah, you all, even if you're probably not doing very good relative to the max score, you still feel like the game is encouraging and rewarding you in a way that I think is very conducive to being excited about dancing.
Accessible.
Yeah.
Accessible.
So I just want to give a quick kind of like breakdown of how we're going to discuss these games. Because like we said, there are 9 of them. But there's not a whole lot of deviation from episode to episode because this is an annual release and mostly it's just about updating a couple of different dance moves. So we're going to lay all of these out. I'm going to give some very, very brief descriptions of like what's different.
So
it'll
be
in
a
general
mental exercise of us trying to remember what song we played in each one.
Exactly.
We should have written it down.
No, and you got to use our brains.
And then we're just going to kind of, when we rank all these, we'll just consider this kind of one game because I don't think there's enough deviation in here to like say which one is my favorite.
Yeah, I think there were only 2 games here that I would, you know, kind of actively not want to play.
Sure.
But that's maybe by design.
But yeah. But let me just give a quick breakdown of the Just Dance series overall. So this series is one of the most successful franchises of recent history. It has new editions released multiple times a year all around the globe, and it's become a kind of a powerhouse, but it has some very, very modest origins. You know, obviously dancing games are nothing new. We talked about DDR. We've seen games like Space Channel 5, Busta Groove.
But like those
that
are not really, again, like they're, more they're rhythm, but you just are playing with a controller. You're just pressing something in time.
One feels much more like a quote unquote dancing game than so much of a rhythm game.
Yeah.
Because it's even hard to tell exactly how much this game is measuring your rhythm.
Yeah.
But weirdly, this series could actually be considered a spin-off of Rayman. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Because a mini-game in the Wii title Rayman Raving Rabbids TV Party had you posing along with your Wiimote in some dance sequences. And basically, the Just Dance series is just an expansion of that mini-game from that Rabbids game. So go figure. The minigame was so fun that Ubisoft decided to expand the concept into a standalone game. Thus, Just Dance was born. The game took only 6 months to develop over a team of 20 people, and the title was taken from the popular Lady Gaga song, although a Gaga song would not actually appear in this series until, I think, 2015, something like that. The first entry debuted on the Wii in 2009, and despite some pretty brutal reviews, it was a huge hit right out the gate. It sold more than 5 million copies and became the best-selling third-party Wii franchise.
Wow.
The series was kind of a near-total win for Ubisoft. It was fast, it was cheap, it was easy to produce. They could sell new copies every year just by updating the song list. And as the series grew more popular, they got more and more like master recordings rather than kind of like knockoff cover versions, kind of similar to how Guitar Hero sort of started doing that. And the game has proven really popular across all age demographics. It's had a really long-lasting impact in particular on elder care facilities because this is kind of nice, light, aerobic, fun exercise that you can get. You could set it at a low difficulty level, and it's very forgiving with you.
I think the secret to this game's success is that really the whole thing is kind of a smoke and mirrors. Like, its actual status of a game is pretty questionable. Like, I don't really know how this game measures your score. Like, at its core, like, is it based on timing? And is it based where the Wiimote's located? Because all these moves are asking you to do something with your whole body, but all you have is, like Emma said, one Wiimote in your right hand.
Right.
So any action that you're doing with your left hand is not going to be measured. If you have, like, there's dance moves where you might have your right hand on your hip and be like swinging your left hand around. And it's just like, all right, I just can hold the right hand on my hip.
I mean, it's kind of a series that's ideal for the Kinect, which is like a whole body scanner. And that's where it thrived, really, like on the Kinect and on the
Wii. Were there just dance games on the Kinect?
I think
there was Dance Central.
There were both. Yeah, Dance Central was kind of the exclusively built one, but this one did work.
I guess my point is, I know that we talked about with motion control sometimes how you just kind of take the game's word for it, and it doesn't feel like you have much sort of impact on what's going on.
Right.
And I feel like usually that is a criticism of a game. But here, I almost feel like it's a plus in the game.
So. I mean, there was a question in my head before we started playing this, and which was, how different of an experience would this be if I was just watching a YouTube video and like trying to do the moves along with it? But like, again, it helped to have Emma here, who, as you pointed out, is a competent dancer and was consistently getting higher scores than we were, like attempting some of the same moves. So I think it does have a sensitivity to that to a degree.
I think a part of that is, as a dancer, when you take a traditional dance class, the warm-up is usually a follow-along process with the instructor. So as a dancer, you get used to looking at someone doing something and following along. Whereas, where was I going with that? So I think that's why I was more comfortable doing that, is because I have that experience and I can see someone do it once. And, you know, most of these moves were repeated throughout the song, whether right away or the chorus was consistent or whatever. And so you get the one through where you're kind of guessing, and then you can see the little guy coming in. Okay, I know I did that one before. I remember how that
goes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because the first time you see all of these games have the same structure of, they'll be kind of this silhouette, cartoony person or two on the screen doing the dance moves. A couple of the games had actual real people. But then on the lower right or left of the screen, there'll be kind of pictograms that show like a little stick man with arrows of what limb goes in what direction. And like, those are fairly hard to follow just like the first time you see it. Like, oh yeah, that's clearly like twist around with my right hand and like wave, do a wave with my left
arm.
But
there were sometimes when the pictogram and then the actual move were dissimilar. Mm. Where I would see it coming and I would think I would know, okay, I can kind of tell what that is. And then the guy would start doing it and I'm like, that's not what I thought it was going to be at all. Ooh. But then some of them, it is kind of a shorthand that you start to learn, you know, as a dancer, as a choreographer. I have my shorthand when I'm speaking to my dancers, like, okay, we make our stereotypical dance teacher noises that tell the kids or the dancers what
will you give
doing.
Us an example of a stereotype?
And whoosh, ba, ha, ha, go.
Perfect. Great.
Crazy.
Yes, exactly. And so that is almost like a visual version of that that I was able to kind of translate. Whereas Steve said, you said you had better success following the actual cartoons.
Yeah, I was following the people moving themselves rather than the diagrams, because we'll get into the individual games, but some of these diagrams were easier to interpret than others. I mean, I think for the most part, this game is pretty intuitive. As a quick just final breakdown of the numbers on this game, this is Ubisoft's second most popular franchise after only Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
It sold 40 million units. There have been 24 Just Dance games in 13 years.
Wow.
And that's not even including all the spin-offs like Michael Jackson, The Experience, ABBA, You Can Dance, The Black Eyed Peas Experience, Dance on Broadway. All of these are all Just Dance games, technically. All right, let's start with our first game. Just Dance 4. It was released November 18th, 2012. It's a launch game. It was developed by Ubisoft Bucharest, Pune, Milan, Paris, and Reflections. It was published by Ubisoft, and it was released on the Wii, the 360, and the PS3. All right, the one thing
and the Wii U.
And the Wii U, of course.
Which is what we played it on.
The one thing to note about the development is, like, all of these are done by, like, four or five different branches of Ubisoft, to the point where, like, I actually had to look up how many branches of Ubisoft there are, because I'm like, I had no idea there was one in Pune or Bucharest or any of this. They have 26 branches across 18 countries, and all of them contribute a little bit to this series.
I mean, that's kind of cool in the sense that a lot of these games pull some international hits.
Yeah.
Like there's some Punjab songs on here, a lot of Latin songs. And so it's cool that, I don't know, you would think that probably some of these songs were developed by people who are in that culture.
Yeah.
Give them a little more sense of legitimacy.
Which is cool. And I like that the roster does become more and more international as the games go on. As a very, very brief overview for people who've never played the series, like all of us, this is our first time with it. You are basically just following along. You're mirroring the actions of some characters on the screen. You can either use little pictogram dialogues to kind of give you an idea of what your pose you should be striking, or you can follow along with the dancers themselves.
And again, I don't know, like I would say following along with the dancers probably gives you a little bit of a delay, right? Like you're going to be a little farther behind than if you use the pictogram.
A little bit,
but
yeah.
I don't know if it measures you on timing or accuracy.
And there's
more.
Kind of just like a basic like pulse at the bottom of the screen, kind of indicating what rhythm you should be on. But again, it's hard to tell exactly what's being measured and how accurately it's being measured. I mean, none of us ever lost a round.
I don't think you can lose a round.
I don't think you can lose a round.
Which is how it should be.
Yeah.
So the interface here in Just Dance 4, you basically have two options. You have just the main mode is Just Dance, and then there's a sweat party.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Because that actually sounds weird.
I think it's called Just Sweat.
Just Sweat. That sounds less weird.
Yeah, Sweat Party is a different game. yeah, you need to be invited to that one.
Okay, you got it.
There's a different pass.
It's only very, very close
Fidelio.
Friends. Yeah. And we just did the Just Dance mode, and there's a really good selection of songs right from the get-go.
Yeah.
I didn't count them. I feel like most of these games probably had about 30. It feels like they just settle on 30.
30 to 50 around there. And then as the games go on, we'll get some DLC packs and everything
sure.
like that.
But it's a really good mix of, you know, what you would expect. Lots of Katy Perry throughout these games. Black Eyed Peas.
We played, it was me and Emma played this first round while Woody ate his power burrito. His dancing
exactly.
burrito. And we did the Blues Brothers.
No, excuse me, Steve. The Dancing Boys.
We did the Dancing Boys. Excuse me.
No, the Dancing Bros.
That's it.
Bros.
Yeah, we're the Dancing Bros. I feel like we kind of picked it up pretty immediately,
yeah.
right?
Just no,
like
you guys killed it right from the start.
Yeah.
That was one of the more repetitive ones of all of the games the songs that we did. I think there was like 4 to 6 moves that you got in that first intro, and then it was just kind of a different combination of each. And so I feel like that one was a really good one where I watched the cartoons at first, but then as the pictograms came, I could figure out I know what that looks like. We already did that. And I feel like that contributed to our success as it was more repetitive than some of the other ones.
I would also say that as I am a man approaching middle age, I think I just automatically dance like a Blues Brother.
Yeah.
a dancing bro. That's just kind of the way my body moves automatically.
But this put us all in a good mood right from the start.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, I'm not just trying to harp on DDR, because obviously that is a fun game of its own type. But most of those games, the songs in that all kind of have the same feel. It's just very fast-paced sort of techno with, you know, high-pitched Japanese vocals.
It's also very much how much can you disembody your legs from the rest of your body? And if you can just have really fast footwork and hold yourself up. I remember there was two bars on either side that when people would go really fast.
Yeah, you just hold on the bars.
Yeah, whereas, like you said earlier, this is a more whole body experience that makes you happy.
What I mean specifically too is for whatever reason they chose not to pay for the license of the Blues Brothers, but the moves and style of this song is the Blues Brothers. The moves are very distinct, and it's clear that it was choreographed with the song in mind. It's not okay, the beat's coming, now clap up here, and now clap up here. It's you're doing the lean forward and the shimmy and looking at each other back and forth.
Well, and we were talking about this too, because Emma was pointing out that some dances are kind of copyright protected, some specific choreography. So we were looking at a couple of songs with more distinctive choreography. We know this Blues Brothers bit because it's roughly the same routine they're doing from the movie. And Emma was playing The Bad Romance by Lady Gaga, which has a distinctive choreography in that music video. And you said it was kind of close. It's noticeably different, but it's close.
Yeah, there was very similar aspects to it and movements, but it was not exactly the same, which was interesting to me. And then I should have Googled before we started this, but I'm interested in knowing who the contributing choreographers were for this series and how they went about deciding whether it was licensing and finance or how they decided how close to that really distinctive choreography they could get. There was one song that was, what did they call him? Mick Jackson.
Yeah.
And we didn't play that one, but I'd be interested to see because
just Michael to be clear, Jackson's... that's Michael Jackson knockoff, not a Mick Jagger reference.
Right.
Knockoff.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was sitting here thinking, like, is Mick Jackson just an artist I don't know?
No. But,
like, who sounds kind of like Michael Jackson, coincidentally?
No, because the silhouette definitely had, like, the red Michael Jackson jacket.
And it was a very, the preview of the song was not a Michael Jackson song, but almost a Michael Jackson song, I think. And so that one, I'm interested to see how close to his, you know, very specific movement it is. But then again,
I think it's all close enough. I guess what I'm saying is like it's all close enough that you feel cool while doing it, and that's kind of the secret to these kind of games. And like I know objectively, when somebody watches me play Guitar Hero or probably do the play Just Dance from an outside perspective, I look like a huge dork because I look like a huge dork most of the time. It's my default state in life.
It's a charm.
Sure.
Got
thank
resting
you.
Resting dork face.
Yeah, exactly. But like you feel cool doing the dance moves in these games, even if you're doing the Numa Numa song. Like you get into it and like you feel like you're part of a music video.
And we played varied styles of songs, and each song, each choreography really embodied the mood of that song really well. Like the Aquarius.
Yeah, well, let's move on then, because next is...
Next is going to be Just Dance Kids 2014. It was released October 22nd, 2013. This was developed by Ubisoft Osaka, published by Ubisoft. This one was only released on the Wii, the Wii U, and the 360. This is the third and final edition of the kids spin-off series, and it's pretty much just what you expect. It is Just Dance with very young songs, to the degree like Hickory Dickory Dock.
Oh, and Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mary Had a Little Lamb. And then also some Wu-Tang, which I thought was confusing.
And this was the first one that had real people dancing. They were actual kids, which I thought was both adorable and also made it, for me, somehow more difficult to follow along because you'd be playing the song, the dance, and the kids would change, and that weird flicker transition made it hard to know what move you were supposed to be doing.
Well, to be clear, like I was playing Footloose on this version, and I think they were trying to do the thing from the movie where it's like during the song Footloose, they're doing a montage of everybody getting up and breaking the shackles of the tiny little town. Fuck you, John Lithgow.
Because later we played Do You Love Me, and we were only two characters, like you were a girl with cat ears,
yes,
and I was a guy with a dog floppy ears.
Yeah,
and you know that was kind of weird. Like I appreciated the, I found the real people to be a little easier to follow in their movements, but the pictograms in this game were a little odd. It was weird to see your cat lady like acting like a cat and licking her hands.
Yeah, a little off-putting.
To be fair, kids like weird shit.
Yeah, you know, that's
I'm
true.
I'm sorry if any of my students hear
sorry all of our younger listeners.
You guys like weird stuff, and I feel like this game definitely followed that trend.
Okay. But like the production values were okay here as well. I just feel like there's a weird sort of middle ground that's really hard for like kids is a broad range.
Yeah.
And to have like Mary Had a Little Lamb with,
yeah,
is how do you stretch that out? Like, is this game to make a game that's appropriate for like 4 or 5 year olds as well as something that would appeal to 11 year olds is not really that doable.
And kind of the logical problem you have with this is that every Just Dance game could be played by kids. It is specifically designed to be played for all ages from, 5 to 85.
I think if any of the songs had, like, objectionable lyrics in it, they would always be playing a censored version of
that. Yeah. I mean, so this one, it was, I found, the hardest to follow along. The pictograms
were kind
vague.
Of a mess.
They were a little vague.
I also had issues with the frame rate in this game.
Yeah.
It felt like kind of chuggy a little bit, which is, in this kind of game, a pretty huge deal.
It is. I agree.
I was just about to say, I found it the lowest quality of the ones that we played, which made it also the most boring. It was the least fun, in my opinion, of the 9 games we played.
And yeah, we should mention too that all of these have pretty bare bones like menu options. Some of them you just open up and it's just the song list, you know, which is
fine.
That's the way it should be.
In some ways, I kind of prefer that.
So our next game is Just Dance 2015, released October 21st, 2014, developed by Ubisoft Bucharest, Pune, Milan, Paris, Reflections, and published by Ubisoft.
So it's Just Dance 4, the last numbered Just Dance
that
game?
That was the last numbered one. And then they decided, you know, hey, this is going to be an annual series now. Let's just kind of keep this chugging along. I totally missed Just Dance 2014, but that was the one where we played Age of Aquarius.
Okay.
And that song doesn't lend itself as well to...
No, it was cool that they had it on there, and yeah. Like that's part of it, but it's like that's just kind of a lot of like jazz hands and kind of like there was a lot of hugs in that one.
Yeah.
Which just is an odd thing to kind of like put in your
some
dance.
Some vague flailing and... almost the peace sign hands, but not quite. I feel like if I was on acid, that one would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, there's a couple distinct styles of dancing that I think work really well. Like later we played a Bruno Mars song, and I feel like, and again, I'm ignorant, but I feel like part of the appeal of Bruno Mars is like his dance moves are so precise and crisp and like stop on a dime.
Yeah.
And like those to me are a lot more satisfying of songs to play than something like Age of Aquarius, where it's like, I don't know, just kind of like wiggle in freedom, you know?
Age of Aquarius doesn't come on the radio and I immediately get up and dance the
right.
same way 24 Karat Magic makes you want to get up and dance. So I thought it was an interesting choice. Maybe that one was for the parents.
Sure. And I, you know what? I'm not going to complain of them putting on stuff that's a bigger variety. And
yeah.
Like, again, it had its own unique feel and it's cool that it's on there.
Sorry to be jumping around. That was back to 2014. Not a whole lot else to say about that. Let's move back to 2015. The big addition here is karaoke.
Sure.
So this one lets you use a peripheral
and
mic.
And Steve's voice falling apart again.
Yeah, exactly. This one has you use kind of any peripheral mic or a smartphone app, and you can sing along.
You can sing into your smartphone?
Yeah, huh? Yeah. You can sing into the smartphone app. It was fine. What did we sing this one? We did You Spin Me Right Round.
Yeah.
I sang along on this one and you guys danced. That's kind of a fun dynamic, like the idea that like one person is singing and then you have like background dancers.
Well, yeah, let's talk about the multiplayer aspects of these games real quick, because it's not immediately intuitive. Like most of these games are four players if you want, but the amount of dancers in the song varies depending on the choreography of the song. So you can sing like You Spin Me Right, or you can dance You Spin Me Right Round with four people, but you're all doing the same dance moves. And then your score is great against each other. Like, that's fine. It's nice to have more people to play. But like for me, multiplayer game, it really is a lot more satisfying when you do something like the Blues Brothers knockoff or like a co-op mode where the choreography is you guys dancing together and interacting with each other as, you know, you each have your own character.
Yeah. It got a little confusing. And I think in my smaller space, all three of us dancing at the same time, we kept like bumping into each other. And like, you know, that's kind of going to happen. So I think adding the karaoke as an extra element lets another person get involved with the action without having to like trip over each other.
And similar to the dancing itself, like the karaoke doesn't really feel like it has much of a game to it. Like it picked up your vocals and it would say, good, okay, great. But like, I don't know if it actually ever gave you a final score.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is it sounded like a more exciting addition to the game than it ended up being. I feel like it had this idea of being the rock band version versus the guitar band.
Guitar Hero.
Yeah. But it wasn't super clear again how much it affected, if at all.
And the other games that we played up to here all displayed the lyrics anyway. So if you wanted to, you could just sing into your hand or your pet teddy bear and have basically the same effect.
Yeah, like with the other karaoke games we played, it was pretty clear what the scoring metric was. You know, usually you'll have a little bar following along to measure your pitch. There really wasn't any of that. You just have to kind of trust that they're judging you fairly underneath there.
Yeah.
And otherwise, just try and have fun.
There's no mode that cares how well you sing, and that's fine. I mean, this game is called Just Dance. It's not called Just Dance and also sing too.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it to say, Steve, you suck. Shut up. Boo.
Hey, I mean, Steve is a good singer.
That's
what
that's
Steve
what
is a much better singer than he is
that's
dancer.
That's what Emma was saying to me. But
that's the issue. That's why I like to bully him about it, is because he is a better singer than I am. And so I just have to make sure his head doesn't get too big in that front.
Well, if it makes you feel any better,
genetics
Emma,
always already ruin that.
I'm sure you're a much better singer than I am. So
we have tears. We have
yeah,
tears
exactly. I'm the bottom of all of them. Yeah, this is our tier list of the Wii U Just Dance rhythm game. Somebody make that on tierlist.com.
Oh, yeah. All right, our next game is Just Dance Disney Party 2, released October 20th, 2015, developed by Ubisoft San Francisco, published by Ubisoft. So many Ubisofts. The first Disney Party spinoff game came out in 2012. As you'd imagine, it has kind of a lot of kid-friendly versions of Disney songs. The first one was mostly movies, but this second game is kind of all Disney Channel original shows. So we get The Descendants, Austin and Ally, Teen Beach, Liv and Maddie, Casey Undercover, and a whole lot of other things I have never heard of in my entire life. I was kind of only just noticing any of these because Zendaya's on the cover of this. I guess that's the show that she came from is one of these shows. Yeah, I again, not too much to say about this one. The song selection really meant nothing to me for this
right.
match.
This is the fundamental problem with this game, and it's more of just a thing to be aware of. Like, I feel like you could easily get this game and be like, oh yeah, I love, like, I want to play a Disney Just Dance, because like yeah. some of the previous games had Disney songs on them.
Yeah.
Like, with, you know, Frozen, Let It Go. There was Prince Ali. Which we missed out by not doing.
Yeah, Moana's on here.
Yeah, and so like those are great, and you assume like, oh, I want a whole disc of these, and like, just to be clear, this is very much just like, do you enjoy Disney Channel original movies and shows?
And like specifically from like 2013 or something like that.
I feel like Just Dance Disney Channel would be a more apt name because it was all original.
Like
Disney
if you're really into Channel. Teen Beach Party Dance 2, or what's it called?
Teen Beach Movie.
Teen Beach Movie 2.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot to go into here.
And I will say, you know, those kinds of things I only know mostly from my students saying, oh, they love The Descendants. They love Teen Beach Movie. There was a lot of teen, like almost all the songs as we were flicking through, I'd say a good 25% were Teen Beach Movie or Teen Beach Movie 2 or whatever. So there's definitely favorites. They're,
yeah, so we're making this a public service announcement.
Direction.
Like, if you have a kid in your life or you yourself or a kid at heart who really loves Teen Beach Movie,
this is
the game for you.
But I will say that, like, you know, I'm a childless adult, you know, and I have friends with kids, and sometimes I encounter some of these Disney Channel properties through cultural osmosis. Like, you know, I knew some songs from High School Musical because they were out there. I knew some songs from Hannah Montana because they were out there. These are a dead zone for me. Like, I've never heard of any of these shows at all, and
there
I don't know.
Not one High School Musical song, and that is just abysmal.
Yeah, that is really weird.
I couldn't even say that this game is very Raven, because like some games you could say, oh man, that is
not
so
Raven.
Raven. This was barely Raven, okay? It wasn't even Corey in the house, okay? Like, it was a problem. But I mean, that being said, like, I had a decent time dancing along with this song.
This game was an improvement over the Just Dance Kids. I appreciated that they had, again, the live action dancers. The pictograms were improved.
The dance was cute.
The dance was cute.
And it was fun. It was, we didn't know. We picked a,
I don't even remember what the name
Austin
of it was.
Austin and Ally, maybe? We picked something random that we just liked the sound of, and it was fun. I felt, you know, I didn't know the show, I didn't know the song, but I was invested.
Yeah, there was a nerdy guy with a bow tie.
They jumped off a ladder coming down from what we're supposed to think is a helicopter.
All right, let's talk about Just Dance 2016. This was released October 20th, 2015. Developed by Ubisoft Paris, Pune, Milan. It was released on PS3, PS4, 360, Xbox One, and Wii. So, yeah, the 360 and the Wii kind of started heading towards irrelevancy, let's say.
Sure.
Fewer and fewer people were playing games with motion controllers, and so that kind of leaves the Just Dance franchise in a weird limbo. So with this edition onward, they're really starting to push the smartphone app, which you can just download to your phone, and it will work with any of these versions of this game.
And so you just hold your phone in your hand as if it were the Wiimote and just move?
Yeah, I believe it uses the cameras in your phone to kind of track your movement that way. Or I forget exactly how it works.
Built-in gyroscope, like the way it turns if you turn it aside. Which, again, I just feel like is evidence of how little work the actual controller is doing in this game when they're like, I don't know, just download this app for whatever phone you have and it'll probably be fine.
Yeah, right. Pretty much. And so I think that's kind of become the new default way to play.
I don't know, it seems to me a little less comfortable. Like, I like the Wiimote and the strap for this.
Yeah.
It fits in nicely, especially like... Some cell phones are real chonky.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
I'm still using my old one from 1992, which is like, it's roughly the length of my forearm.
Yeah.
It's twice as heavy as my body. So it's difficult to dance with that.
I would also be much more nervous if I was playing with my phone about dropping it.
I was just going to say that wrist strap, and they have quite a few different... pop-ups as the game is loading, talking about make sure you have the wrist strap on, make sure... But if you... No one has a wrist strap on their cell phone.
No.
I could just see that going flying.
You want to be really embarrassed about, in front of your friends, wear a wrist strap for your cell phone. It's like the kid who had his mittens stapled to
him. I think we all had them with the little charms on like the Motorola Razr back then. That was a good look. But I haven't seen a wrist strap for the iPhone yet.
No.
But I will keep my eyes out.
Okay, it's a new market.
I think we're going to innovate those. It's like, I want straps on my cell phone. I want straps on my glasses handles so they don't fall off my head.
You need one to clip it to the belt?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to clip my cell phone to my belt. Big dad energy. I'm going to wear my socks with my sandals. I'm excited about it.
What song did we play in this one?
I don't remember.
We can do it.
This was the entry where they first introduced Just Dance Unlimited, which is the subscription service that basically gives you access to all of the songs throughout the catalog. And this is where we were noting that the catalog starts getting really, like the on-disc songs start becoming really thin.
Yeah, things are kind of a little bit of a bummer here because... Just Dance Unlimited is a subscription service. You pay monthly or maybe yearly, and I think it's still active. Most of the new Just Dance games have this, and it really makes a lot of sense because like the vast majority of these new games are just new song packs, and so to just be like, all right, you get the game, and then you have access to all of these old songs. Like if you want to play a song that was from... the 2014 game, you don't have to switch discs because...
Let me tell you, I got my disc switching workout this time.
The trade-off is there's not a ton on the built-in disc that you're super excited about. I'm going to go look at the case.
A lot more generic songs, too, that, they'd have a couple of the hit songs, and then a lot of, they must have just made that song for this game.
Yeah, there were a lot of those. Like, some of them were just, like, generic kind of kung fu movie-sounding songs or, like, something that sounds kind of like a video game, but it isn't really from anything.
Another thing I noticed when we got to this one is, as we're getting newer and newer, you would think that they would update the visuals and the characters, but the aesthetic was exactly the same from the Just Dance 4 to... This is the 2018 we're on?
This is 2016.
2016. But we'll talk about it more. But until 2019, the interface and the characters and everything looks exactly the same. Thank you for being proud of
me. You just look so pleased with yourself that you used interface correctly, and I am deeply proud of you. That's great. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what we played on this one. This one was, we spent a lot more time like trying to dig through and find a song that would appeal. I feel like we found ones that we would want to play much sooner than we did on this one.
Yeah, I'm looking at the back of this, features over 40 of today's hottest tracks, and for the life of me, I can't remember. It's definitely not one that's on the back here.
No.
So I'm very confused.
Yeah, I don't remember what we played. Either way, the mystery will subside. I think we had more fun with the next one, which was Just Dance 2017. Came out October 25th, 2016. Same people are developing it. It's available on all these same systems. The big difference with 2017 is that this is the one and only time the series has appeared on PCs. It was on Steam and it was on the Uplay app for Mac. And they discontinued that version pretty much immediately after this because, I don't know, it just feels... This feels like a game you need to play on a console on a big TV. So unless your PC is set up like on your big screen or
something. Right. This is very important for all of these games. Like you're going to have a much better time if you really set up your play space for it, to have enough room to move around, especially if you want to do it with multiple people. I would say that was my biggest criticism of these games. We had to play it in Steve's apartment.
Yeah.
And Steve doesn't live in a big old mansion the way I want him to.
I know.
I feel like this is the perfect game for the rich kids that had a playroom. You know, that had no couch in there. It's just the console set up and maybe some bean bags where you have that. You know, I always was so jealous of the kids. They had their own, like, upstairs living room that was set up as the gaming room. And that would be perfect. You could just really get into it with all that space.
This is going to drive me crazy, the being unable to remember what song we played in Just Dance 2016.
You're going to wake up at 3 a.m.
Listeners, if you know what song we played in Just Dance 2016, write in with your guesses.
I can't remember if that was one of the ones where we started playing the kids mode. No, because the kids mode wasn't on this yet. But either way, on 2017, we played the Numa Numa song, which I think is kind of the most fun we've had playing a group song. Well, I think we just found the right... Like, I really liked the very campy animations. I was like a strapping-looking, like, Freddie Mercury-type airline pilot, and they were my steward eye.
This was the one that had the first... co-op, at least that we played.
I think 2016 had it. We just didn't do it because I still can't remember what song we played.
And it was so much more fun because it had us leaning on each other and changing formations and like high-fiving, and it was a lot more interactive between the three of us.
Yeah, because all of these Just Dance games have the built-in sort of Rivals Classic mode where you just play for score. But as discussed, with scoring mechanics are always vague. And so to have one where we all play as our own dancer with our own unique set of moves, but you interact with each other was really, really satisfying. And like the dance routines here involve lots of high kicks, like hands on shoulders.
Very important, but I solved the 2016 mystery. That was the one where Emma was playing Dance Quest by herself, and we did Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling.
That's right.
Dance Quest is like the solo mode. It's not really a story mode. It's just basically the same exact gameplay, except they give you three random songs.
No, but they're not random. They're played in order. Like, it has a progression. It gives you the three easiest songs, and then you play to unlock more. I guess that would be the, like, fundamental change or fundamental thing they were going for is, like, let's lock a few songs. Because we've talked about this occasionally, like, the pros and cons of having everything unlocked from the beginning versus having to sort of play through some stuff to get that sense of progression and unlock new things.
As a competitive person, I can see how having to unlock things would make me continue to play the game.
Exactly.
For sure. But it was pretty vague about, do you have to get a specific score on each song to get to the next level? Do you just do all three songs and then the next level is unlocked? We didn't get that deep into it. I'm sure it wouldn't take that much to figure out.
And I think you can choose which songs you want. It's like complete two songs to unlock a song, and you can choose what you want to unlock. I think that this, you know, is an important distinction because in 2016, like, they locked some songs and it was the same time that they started locking stuff behind Unlimited. So it makes it feel like the song selection has gone way down. Even though, like, I think there's 40 songs in these later games compared to 30 in the earlier ones.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, I only have, you know, 10 songs unlocked at the beginning, and they're showing me all these songs in Unlimited that I haven't paid for.
It's also worth mentioning that every game before 2018 is now no longer on the servers. The servers are shut down for all of those older games. So with these ones, like, those are locked behind paywalls that you can't even breach anymore. Like, you're just stuck with what's on the disc.
Right. Which is fine, though, because it is all unlocked from the get-go. And, like, I'm sure that the Just Dance Unlimited at this point has a huge selection of songs. So I don't really know which of these games you'd be excited to go back to. Like, you really can't go wrong with any of them, but, like, unless you were really passionate about Teen Beach Party, like, that was the only one where you would, like, specifically go to one.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're like, I really, really want to learn all the moves to Size Gentleman.
Sure. Right.
Although this one did have an entire category dedicated to Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
When we were flicking through, they had the different genres, or, you know, one genre was fitness, which was the higher cardio ones, and there was an entire line just for Katy Perry. So that, I agree, the Disney one, and I guess if you really like Katy Perry,
I imagine
that market to specific.
The later ones have all those Katy Perry songs just in with the Unlimited.
And you mentioned like the kind of high cardio ones too. It's worth mentioning that the sweat mode, like the workout mode, is on all of these games, but it becomes increasingly more and more buried because this is kind of a fitness game, just playing it regularly. Yeah. I mean, we were all breaking a sweat. Like yeah. we were moving and getting our heart rate up. Like, so this is a good like kind of exercise game one way or the other.
All right. So yeah, we're jumping around. So thank you for resolving that.
Yes, we played
that Black Eyed Peas song, which is not that new. It didn't stick in my head because like it's not that interesting of a dance song.
Not really.
I get why it's the starting song.
Sure.
Because it's pretty simple. But and then yeah, Ozone, Dragonstar Dente. Was a definite highlight. Definitely like that's probably the weird way to play this game is get a group together and be like, let's get really good at a co-op on a few of these songs and just like be huge dorks at our next party and do this in front of everyone.
This was the one that Woody decided he was going to take karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
He really started strong and then just threw microphone away.
To be clear, he was trying to do both. He was trying to dance and sing.
Also, to be clear, like this is one of those songs where the vocal high point is the first two lines of this song, and then you're just like, okay, I'm on it. It's like once you threw the Maya he, Maya who, you're just like, no, I'm not interested anymore. It's like Carry On My Wayward Son. Mm-hmm. You do that at the beginning, or song two by Blur. Like
everyone knows Woohoo. They tune out after ha ba 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 ba.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so our next game.
Or the Immigrant Song. It's another big one.
Well, I come from the land of ice and snow. So Just Dance 2018 is our next one. Bear with us, folks. We are almost there. This was released October 24th, 2017, developed by all the same people, published by Ubisoft. This is released on all the same systems that we mentioned. This is the first one to appear on the Switch.
Okay.
So no PC ports this time, like we said. This is just resoundingly a console experience. People voted with their money.
Do you think the Switch... I bet it does. I bet the Switch makes you put one of the half controllers in each hand.
I'm willing to bet.
And that seems like... It would definitely be better.
I think so. Because it's... The Switch controllers are surprisingly sensitive motion controllers. Mm-hmm. Like, they're pretty responsive in that way.
And they
fit
nicely in your hands.
Yeah.
I mean, not that Wiimotes are particularly big, but it seems like you could really palm and crush a Switch controller.
I imagine my big problem would be constantly accessing the home menu or taking pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think I would just be squeezing it and taking photos a lot.
Well, and one of the things that I found interesting is a lot of the moves have, you know, like a jazz hand or a wiggly finger. But you can't really do that when you're holding. Mm. So I had just like my three fingers awkwardly.
Wiggly pinky, we call it.
And thank God for the wrist strap.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is a game you don't... You're at risk factor 5 of throwing this through your TV. That 5 is as high as you can go.
Oh, okay.
On the wrist factors.
Yes, absolutely. So this game, like, I think we're going to see, like... more and more iterative changes rather than big sweeping changes. The thing that this one does is it incorporates the kids' games into the main game. So now it's like kids' mode is just part of the game.
Which is a really smart way to do it. Like, as discussed when we played the Just Dance Kids, it doesn't make sense as its own unique game. And the kids' mode has a few of the same, you know, mostly the same songs that, you know, kids might enjoy from the regular game, but also some kind of just... generic like dinosaur bop,
sure,
or like pirate shanty,
where it's
just kind of generic. But
this was the first one, which I think makes sense since it incorporated the kids mode, that I saw any dirty songs. There was Naughty Girl,
there was Fuck You Like an Animal by 90s Fans.
There was a particularly...
isn't that song called Closer?
Yes, it
okay,
is.
Okay, thank
just
you.
To say
he just
dirty.
Wanted
yeah.
to say it, but there was a, you know, not super family appropriate Beyonce song and another couple other ones. Whereas I was like, why do we even need a kids mode? Because as we said before, they're all clean songs. But this one, I felt like they said, okay, if we're going to bring the kids mode on, then we got to get some sexuality going on into adults mode, which doesn't seem necessary.
Looking here, all of these games, none of these games are even rated teen. They're all E10. So.
Yeah. They're going for the widest possible audience. You know, and this one was fine. I think
we played 24K Magic.
We did
Bruno Mars,
which was good. And they were also asking for some slightly more complex dance moves. Like they wanted us to do a half split, which Emma was saying like you wouldn't even really do in most dance classes.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even just a split. It was a drop split. They wanted you to do a tuck jump to the floor split.
Just to be clear, I don't think they counted against us that none of us did a split.
Oh, no, we just kind of thrust our fists downwards, and I think we all got the point. But this one did have a little bit more complicated choreography. For the most part, you're repeating the same move or two moves for 8 to 16 counts, whereas this one was coming in on ones and twos, which made it more difficult.
I totally know what all that means.
Faster.
Okay.
Faster switching between dance moves.
Got it.
But then they would repeat that segment, so you could still figure out what you were doing. But there was a couple times I even was like, oh, and we're doing this now, and now we're doing this. But having a drop split on this kind of game, I'm just never going to get over that.
Yeah, that's a bit advanced, and my old bones protested because I was into it, like you were saying. Like, I think this game does help draw up a lot of enthusiasm to jump around and be goofy, and I wanted to go there, but my old bones just won't let me. All right, our very last game today, and very last is an apt one. Just Dance 2019, released October 23rd, 2018. Developed by all the same people, released on PS3, PS4, 360, Xbox One, Switch, and we and actually strike PS3 on that. It was not released on PS3. Sure. This one has the distinction of being both the very last game ever released for the Wii U and the very last game ever released for the 360.
Very cool.
And the important thing to note here, too, is that Just Dance 2020 did make it onto the original Wii. It did not make it on the Wii U. That's kind of a fact that people like to toss around sometimes. Like, the original Wii endured much more than the Wii U did. A lot of it was like the nursery school and elder care bump. You know, that's where these games are being played pretty heavily. And they're going to be using the Wii more than the Wii U.
So much bigger install base, yeah.
Bigger install base, kind of a more intuitive system, I think, for this type of game. This was the very last one on the Wii U.
Just straight up the last game on Wii U in general. So if we were doing this in chronological order, people, this would be our very last episode.
Yeah.
But we're not. So.
It's not, yeah. But this is the one, I think, where they seem to get the interface exactly right.
Sure.
Or at least closer. The closest to being right as possible, because it feels like it's a little bit more feature-rich. It's laid out in a pretty comprehensive way.
A lot of the other ones, like, you would only be seeing three or four songs per page, and then you'd have to be scrolling through the pages, which felt like it took too long. Here, you're just seeing everything in, like, little boxes, and they give you a very distinct preview of what's going on.
Yeah.
It was very sad that the Pac-Man song was not unlocked from the start.
I know. Which I wanted is to dance literally the Pac-Man.
It's not Pac-Man Fever by Buckner and Garcia, because that would make sense.
But it would inspire Pac-Man Fever in my soul.
It was just the Pac-Man, and it was like literally the person with the Pac-Man head and ghost running around.
Yeah.
I think that was like a meme YouTube video maybe right around this time.
Oh, was it?
That they just like was people in the ghosts and Pac-Man head like doing a flash mob or something.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't see this one.
It was that or just a very alcohol-driven fever dream that you had one night.
Yeah, that's also possible. Well, one of the earlier games,
that's why you don't go to bed after eating a bunch of ghost meat.
Exactly. Not unless I take one of my blue power pellets first. One of the earlier games had the Tetris theme music, which we never got to.
That one actually is more danceable, I think.
Yeah.
That's
a classic video game bop, really.
That one gets you up and going, yeah.
But this has, even though the interface is nicer and it's a very clean-looking game, like, it really, this was the first one where I felt like there was no song that I was excited to play.
That were free, at least.
Were either unlocked or not in the subscription service. And that felt a little gross.
It also had all of the songs that you had to pay for just kind of interspersed into the free ones. So as he's clicking through, he would find a song and, oh, well, no, it's not unlocked. So it felt a lot more, I don't know, I feel like a kid would much more easily pay for these things on accident because they're just in with all the rest of them.
I mean, I appreciate that they have it set up as just a subscription service instead of like a buy individually.
99 cents a song.
Well, 99 cents a song. Rock Band songs were fucking like $4 a song.
Oh,
yeah,
they,
and there were thousands of them. And like, I do feel like Rock Band and stuff could have endured if they had had like a subscription service to this.
So,
because it just became so cross prohibitive for all the songs that they released.
And how much do you pay for the game itself?
$60.
That's
Well, no, not $60. If you played Rock Band with all the stuff,
you
played like $300.
And then let me just get a $6 a song.
Yeah. Well, that's and also nuts. Just to be clear, Rock Band is dead. I just
and I'm not sure if these are $60 games at retail. These might be $40. I could be mistaken about that, but I think they are a little cheaper.
Okay. I just want to be clear that I think that the subscription unlimited model is a sensible way to do this as opposed to just having new versions every year, even though I think they're still probably doing that.
But it is a bummer for our purposes.
Yes.
When we want to play, when we're more casual players and we want to like enjoy some songs that we like.
And so Emma and I danced to this weird like dinosaur in a 50s diner rockabilly thing. Yeah. I don't know, which was kind of cute.
I have to appreciate that the choreography was very 50s. There was a twist in there. There was a little bit of mashed potato. Like, we had some moments that it felt on brand for our leather-clad, sunglass-wearing dinosaur we were following. But that was in the kids' mode.
Right.
And there wasn't the pictograms at the bottom.
Yeah.
But that was an example of where you'd do the same move for 16 counts to 8 counts and then switch. So you could still pick it up really easily.
Yeah. And then Steve and I danced to some weird like medieval knight song involving bowing and like it was a weird song. I don't know what
it was
going
very
on.
Strange. Yeah, the guy was like dressed like he was in medieval times and like the restaurant, not the period.
I mean, the period.
Yeah, yeah. But more closer to the restaurant, honestly. But yeah, I did feel like a lot of the better songs were kind of being gatekept, which I wasn't crazy about.
Yeah.
I think we did it. We got all the Just Dances. We
got sweaty from playing all those games. I got sweaty from talking about them.
Man, we really, we ran the gamut. That was the most games that we have ever done in one single episode. Let's move on to our rankings, which I'm going to figure out right now. So each week we are ranking the games that we just played. Like I said at the top, normally we are going to parse these out individually, but for these games, it kind of makes more sense to view it as just one unit. So we're just going to be calling this Just Dance, full stop. For me, you know what? I liked Just Dance. Yeah. I had a good time playing these. Like, obviously, there are some questions about what's going on gameplay-wise, how accurate this is, how it's actually measuring you. So if you care about the gamification levels to a degree, then you may not be as into it. I didn't care so much. This is about buying in. This is about accepting the premise of the game and being willing to look goofy with your friends. Yep. And I think it succeeds in that regard. This is going to be my new number 18.
Wow,
so that's
nice.
Going to be right underneath Injustice and right above Minecraft Story Mode, which I think that feels about right. I mean, these are kind of institutional games at this point. Like, everybody's more familiar with them than we are. So I'm not like breaking the news and saying, oh my God, Just Dance is fun. But this was new to me. I had a good time with it. I was kind of resistant to having a good time with it. And it won me over.
I think it was fortunate that we started with Blues Brothers, because they just have an infectious vibe about them.
Absolutely.
I liked it too. It's really a question of like, what are you looking for in your games? And if you know what this series is, which is just an excuse to like, you know, throw your arms around and have a very user-friendly interface and dance to some cool songs, then this delivers. I'm putting it at number 25, which is right below Splatoon and in front of Jeopardy.
Perfect.
I enjoyed it. I think that the kids one is a slightly less polished product, and the Disney 2 one is just know that it's a bunch of songs you've never heard of unless you like Teen Beach Party.
Yeah, I think you have to be of a very specific age group. Yeah.
But any of these, and I would also, and if you don't want to pay for the Unlimited, I would stay away from 19.
Yeah.
But other than
probably
that.
Probably 17 on. Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, that's just something to be aware of. Well, but though 17 had the co-op mode,
which was
a real highlight. So I don't probably just get it on the Switch at this point. It's probably whatever the last one is, probably pretty cheap.
It's everywhere. And you know, Emma does not have a list going, but do you have a highlight from these or a low light or something to mention?
Well, I'm not a video game person. In the other two episodes I've been on, I've never played since, but I would play this again, and I think that's about as accurate and high of a praise as I am qualified to give a video game. I wouldn't buy a Wii just to play it, but if I had a Wii, I would play this regularly. And I said a few times, I thought it was a fun kind of exercise.
Yeah.
That I would play it for half an hour and get a sweat on and call it a day. And if I had kids, you know, it'd be a great thing, I think, to do with the kids in lieu of going to the gym mm-hmm. and getting on a treadmill. So on my list, this is both first and last.
Well, perfect. We have one letter this week. This one starts, hey, Stephen Woody.
Hello.
Hey. I have been thoroughly enjoying your adventures since the or through the Wii U catalog.
I like me. Adventures implies that we've like gone different places. Like yeah. Oh, we're yeah. here at the top, you know, at the Baryshnikov Academy talking about Just Dance.
I loved playing How I Met Your Dragon whilst bungee jumping from the Eiffel Tower.
How I Met Your Dragon starring Neil Patrick Harris.
Did I say How I Met
Smog?
Your Dragon? Oh, shit. Yeah. How to Train Your Mother. Excuse
yeah, thank
me.
You.
That's the proper
thank
way.
You.
I've owned a Wii U since launch and enjoyed the hell out of the system in those early years, but had purchased a few games I never got around to playing. I used my 2020 COVID isolation free time to chip away at my Wii U back catalog, and it's been great to hear you talk about some of the games I played not too long ago. To add to the already existing stack of games, I bought several used Wii U games on sale from GameStop at the end of 2020. One of these games was Splatoon. Mm-hmm. Though I had logged many hours in the sequel, I wanted to see what the original game was like while it was still online and playable. At first, it took a while to get added to the matches, but once I leveled up to level 4, that all opened up and I was playing with the general population.
I see.
This took a minute due to having to grind to level 4 with so few matches available, but I made it. And after that, I was playing with people up to level 50 and wondered if they had really been playing since the beginning.
That feels like a bad oversight at this point that you have to get up to level 4 in Splatoon to like play against everyone.
Yeah.
It seems like when Nintendo like realized that might be the case, be like, all right. Now we're just going to open up to everyone.
Or just like let you level up in the single player mode.
Yeah, exactly.
This morning I put on the game just to see if there were people still playing online, and boy are there. By 8 a.m. Pacific time, I was immediately joining matches with waits no longer than 10 seconds as the game searched for an eighth player for the match. I leveled up to 10 and unlocked Ranked Madness. I also dove back into the single player mode. The bosses in that are great, and the mode is really missed in the sequel. While I have find it a hard proposition to put any serious time into the original game, I'm glad I was able to check it out to see where it started. Thanks so much for your work on the podcast. It's a great listen from one of the few and proud Wii U fans. Long live the Wii U, and that is from Travis in Los Angeles.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you for doing some of that boots on the ground research for us.
Yeah, it
is hard to get up to level 4 just to start a couple matches in there, which is kind of a bummer, but
yeah.
It is really cool to hear that there's still people playing it and having
it's
a good time on their Wii U's. So.
No, it's great that there's still an audience, and like I said, I managed to get a couple of online matches going, like for a game that really should be functionally dead at this point, but it's still going, so it shows the enduring appeal of Splatoon. Well, that concludes it for us this week. Emma, thank you so, so, so much for being here. I love you to death, and it really helped having your expertise here. Do you have anything you'd like to promote or anything you'd like to let people know about, social media, some way to support your studio?
Sure, yeah. You can find us on Instagram at evolution.dance.co. Facebook is Evolution Dance Co. Thank you so much for having me back. I missed you guys so much. And I feel like we all got so used to not seeing each other through quarantine and through COVID that it was very nice to be back. So I'd love to be back more than earlier than 2 years from
now. This is the weird trade-off is we're like, Steve's leaving. We're like, oh, we got to get all our friends in. And then we're like, oh, yeah, we remember that we like our friends. That's why they're our friends.
Well, I'm always down for a Zoom pod or however we end up wanting to do it, but
boy, it sounds I'm glad we didn't have to play Just Dance over Zoom.
I feel like it would add another element of kind of fun to it.
Okay.
I think we should give it a shot.
Well, be sure to tune in next week. We got another big one. We are going to be playing the last of the Toys to Life games. That means we're playing Disney Infinity and Lego Dimensions. I'm going to be opening up so many little boxes and putting out so many weird little discs and just cluttering my already cluttered apartment. always good to have that. But yeah, we got lots of toys to play with.
Perfect.
I'm always looking forward to that. So tune in next week. We will see you then. Dance, 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 dance. That's me dancing away.
Perfect. That's the sound that you naturally make when your joints move.
Dance, dance,
dance.